Now we're coming to the end of the show. Yes, we've got half an hour to go on Solidarity Breakfast, but I'm devoting it to the slow walk through the city that happened last Saturday. It was a almost hypnotic experience. I went with Extinction Rebellion. They were occupying Nam 25th, 26th, 27th, and they threatened that they're going to be back in warmer climes later in the year. But it was a fantastic affair walking through the city, not at a brisk pace. They took over the city for about 3 hours in this slow walk. Of course, there's only half an hour left, so we're only going to hear some of what happened, but hopefully you will be inspired.
Yeah, I'm from 3PR.
Oh, great, yeah.
Why are you here?
All the animals, humans included, need a safe place. We cannot let the multinationals control what's happening by accepting small donations are given to politicians in return for huge subsidies, $22,000 a minute apparently to some of the fossil fuel companies, not just the fossil fuel subsidy on diesel that they use, but they get roads put in for nothing, they get water for free, and they get not charged the royalties they're meant to pay for Australia's own resources. There's so many issues, but it comes down to politics, big business, multinationals ruling the roost. This is people power taking action, saying it's wrong, helping change the dynamics of everything that's been happening politically over the last few years is gradually coming back to common sense and survival for the people's sake. But it's still got a long way to go. We do need people to get more active. Like, I'm in over 70, but this is my wonderful retirement job. I've got lots of lovely people to work with. They are all doing whatever they're good at. Whatever we can contribute time-wise and energy-wise and skill-wise, we do it. Like, people today are dressing up. They're having a fun, colourful action as well as supporting each other but getting the message out, because photographs will go all over the world about this. We've got, have you described the beautiful mechanical Blinky the koala?
Tell us about that.
Okay, it's a huge half-skeleton, half-fur burnt in the fires, representing the bushfires. It roars up with a great big sound installation of its pain, and it emits smoke. And in front of us we have Miss Bebe Have, who is a blue-banded bee, mechanical again, and all decorated with flowers and foliage to show that we need bees, our life, they pollinate all our food, they are essential. The more poisons we use, the more we go for fast agriculture, monoculture, the worse we are survival-wise. It's all connected. Everything we do for the planet helps us and our creatures and the biosphere keep supporting us. It's selfish, but it's also for the creature's sake, because what makes us more special than anyone else? We're not. We're part of the whole. We need the insects and the bees.
When the planet is under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When the planet is under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When the planet is under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Say, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Say, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Thank you so much for coming this morning to the Slow March for Climate on day 3 of Occupy for Climate here in Parliament Gardens. It is so fantastic to see so many people here. We've got all the beautiful colour and all of the props, all of the exciting things going on. But we are just going to take a moment to acknowledge that we are holding this rally on unceded lands. We are on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. These lands were stolen. They were stolen under circumstances of extreme violence. There has been no reparation. There has been no meaningful apology even. We are all living on the result of that violence and that dispossession. And we pay our respects to elders past and present. And we sincerely hope that everything we do as Extinction Rebellion and as other activist groups who have come out here today will also be things that help to put forward the cause of First Nations justice, justice for First Nations people as well. Just so everybody knows what the deal is today, we are going to be doing a nice slow walk around the city. The route that we are going to be taking is we are going to be going down Lonsdale Street here, We're going to go to the corner of Elizabeth and Lonsdale, where we will be having some more speeches, a couple of speakers there. We will then be turning right up Elizabeth Street and stopping just outside Queen Vic Market to say hello to all the people doing their market shopping on this very chilly Saturday morning. There will be a couple more speeches there. We will then turn right, and at the next big intersection, more speeches. So slow and lots of speeches along the way. And then we'll be turning into Swanston Street and coming up to the State Library, where we will be hearing from our final speaker. So we have a lot of fantastic speakers from a lot of different groups. We're looking forward to hearing from them all. But what we are doing is starting with one of Extinction Rebellion's own. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Alex O'Connor. So give her a big round of applause.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for coming. And thank you especially to the amazing organisers of our first Occupy for Climate. And thank you to everyone who has braved the rain and the cold and the council for staying here, joining our actions and maintaining this occupation. And the fact that so many people have put up with this cold shows that it must be bad. And things are getting really bad. In fact, they're getting so bad that unless we do a lot more of this, they're going to get a lot worse very quickly. We are in extreme and imminent danger. The climate emergency is not just a few more hot days or a few centimetres of sea level rise. If urgent action isn't taken, the cascade of catastrophes that will come with the climate crisis will be very likely to be so destabling to our planet that adaptation will not be possible. On our current trajectory, we are risking the collapse of organised society as we know it in our lifetimes. Scientists are saying that when we go into the next El Nino, which will probably be this year, we will likely cross the 1.5 degree threshold of warming. That's the 1.5 degree threshold that our government has been committed to keeping us below for 8 years. The one where scientists say we will be crossing tipping points, causing feedback loops that accelerate warming and make things get very worse very quickly. But we can stop this from happening. Along with the dire warnings, the science is also clear that we have the tools to turn this around. It's a fairly simple equation. We need to stop emitting carbon, stop destroying nature, and repair the damage that has been done. There are brilliant, elegant, and most importantly, feasible solutions that are being proposed right now. So don't let anyone tell you that it's impossible. The reason it isn't happening has nothing to do with science. The reason nothing is happening is because of politics. Governments here and around the world are refusing to do even the bare minimum to prevent this catastrophe or even prepare for it. Whatever hope anyone might have had in Labour has been well and truly crushed. They are committed to maintaining business as usual. They approved 4 new coal projects in the last 2 weeks. But that's just par for the course on this continent. We are standing on the stolen land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, who have been dispossessed and almost exterminated by the same system that brought us to this point. The national shame is still with us today, and it's not just the land that's been stolen. Yesterday marked the anniversary of Kevin Rudd's apology to the stolen generation. But what good is sorry when First Nations children are still being stolen from their families by the Child Protective Services in this country right now? And today marks the beginning of Reconciliation Week. How can we pretend we are reconciling with First Nations people of this land when ancient art is being demolished to open new mines, when rivers and aquifers that sustained life for thousands of years are being poisoned? There is no climate justice without social justice, and there is no climate justice without First Nations justice. But of course, when people like you and me exercise our democratic right to peaceful protest to point this out and object to the willful murder of huge swathes of the currently living life on Earth, Labour governments around the country are cracking down and introducing jail terms and exorbitant fines as punishment. They do this to scare us and alienate us from the public, because they know that unless they demonise and silence us, more and more people will realise that there is an alternative to letting ourselves get burnt alive. that if enough of us refuse to participate in this suicide pact and join together to demand a safe future, they will not be able to stop us. Everyone participating in this campaign is here because we know that's what we need to do. Our mission now is to bring thousands of people along with us. We need a mass movement of people willing to stand up to the government's attempts to divide and silence us. In Extinction Rebellion, we believe that we ordinary people can collectively create the necessary structures to challenge power, and we want you to help us build them. This occupation has been the first ripple of an oncoming wave of people power that will transform our future. We will be returning to Occupy for Climate in the CBD again at the end of this year, when it is warmer, and again for as long as it takes. We are building to our climate endgame rebellion, to the day when 100,000 people are willing to take to the streets day after day in a rolling festival of civil disobedience. And I'm not joking. We have the sign-up sheet over there. Go sign up right now. We've got them all around the park, so scan the QR code, get in on the ground floor, and come have a chat with us after the march to see how you can be involved. Thank you once again for being here. It brings such warmth to my cold, cold bones to see so many brave and committed people. Things are still really fucked, but together, we're in a chance with unfucking them. Thank you.
About 3 minutes for each of you, so let's yeah. Woo!
Thanks. Spread out nice and wide, everyone. We're taking up space today to occupy against climate inaction on this continent. I'm Tim. I'm a frontline direct action activist who's worked with Extinction Rebellion, and I've previously been involved with a group, I guess like maybe what you could call like a network of independent activists that is referred to as Blockade Australia. And today I'm going to talk to you all about resistance. And so the fundamental point I want to get across today is that resistance is illegal. Peaceful protest is a fundamental part of a functioning democracy, but this is not a democracy. The right to protest is permission from the state to act within the bounds of their control. And when you step beyond that permission, they lock you in a box. And the loud echo slam of a steel door inside four concrete walls is a threat. It's a threat that says, you went outside the bounds of what we permitted you to do. To me, this is a clear indication of where they draw a line in the sand. And that line in the sand, to me, is the front line of resistance. Arrest is not a goal. Arrest is a consequence for refusing to comply with this system. This system is an illegal occupation on this land, and it was set up without permission. They enforce that occupation with blood. They use guns and handcuffs, pepper spray and batons. Genocide. It's cold, calculated, and callous. I was incarcerated last year for the crime of thinking about protesting. I was charged with aiding and abetting in the commission of future crimes. The future crimes in question being the new laws that were passed in New South Wales to outlaw disruptive protest. Laws, mind you, that haven't held up in court for the people who were actually charged with them. I want to caution people a bit against using terms like draconian to talk about these sort of laws or defending the right to peaceful protest, because peaceful protest is permitted on this continent and disruptive protest is what's illegal. They've drawn a line in the sand to tell us where we can and can't stand. Look around us. Right now there is a swarm of people working for the state, keeping a box containing us into this particular area. That right there is the line in the sand. That is where they say, you stand on that side, not that side. And the, I guess, the threats that they use to keep us inside that box are things like fines, imprisonment, prejudice, blood, arrest, and weapons. And it's a scary thing to do to walk to the other side of that line, but the other side of that line is where resistance lies. It's on the other side of that line that they'll put you in the back of a police car. It's on the other side of that line that they will beat you, where they will hurt you, or at the very least, where they will put you through a court system for 6 to 12 months of your life to stop you from ever thinking about crossing that line again. But right here, we're occupying space. We're taking up space and we're making a message clear that we do not consent to the laws that have been imposed on this continent. We're here because we're together in staunch, defiant disruption. And the disruption is illegal. I say that again because when we disrupt, they try to prevent us from doing it. We're camping in a park up there, a small handful of people are sticking it out every night, listening to police sirens and threats of fines and pieces of paper being waved around. But nonetheless, we're occupying space and we're taking up space in the public. We've foregone very comfortable lives where we decide to just, you know, be really unoffensive. And we've devoted our time and ourselves to doing the things that say we do not consent to the occupation of this land. And so with all of our free time and all of our emotional space, we care for each other. We care for the planet and we make it clear that we're going to stay. In short, we are resistance, and every step that we take in that direction is a step to say that we will not comply with a system that has violently monopolized control of this continent. We therefore must cross that line in the sand and make that message abundantly clear. And so with that today, I want to encourage everyone to join with me in a chant, and that chant is, no borders, no nations, stop Australia's operations. 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 No borders, no nations, stop...
Keep the carbon in the soil.
Thank you for all coming here to this, the electorate of Melbourne that I'm lucky enough to represent. I want to acknowledge that we're on the lands of the Wurundjeri country and that there's a history of violence and dispossession at the heart of this country we call Australia, and it's time that we started telling the truth about that and understanding that we need to tell the truth and strike a treaty with our First Nations people and ensure that First Nations people are given the voice that they deserve. And there will be no climate justice without First Nations justice. And if we want to, and if we sit and look and understand that for over 60,000 years they understood that the key thing that matters is the relationship we have with country and how you treat country, we have a lot to learn, including about how to tackle the climate crisis. It is time to tell the truth. We are in the fights not just of our lives, but our kids' lives and our grandkids' lives, because the decisions that get made now by governments and corporations will determine whether we can keep the climate crisis under control. Because if we tip over the edge, then no matter what our kids and our grandkids do, they will not be able to put the genie back in the bottle. And climate change will become an uncontrollable chain reaction that will end up with large parts of this country that we all love becoming uninhabitable. And scientists are telling us that if we keep going at the rate that we are going, then by the end of this century, we could be in a situation where the carrying capacity of this planet is down to 1 billion people. And if you think about the wars and the destruction and the devastation that is involved in getting 7 billion people down to 1 billion people during my daughter's lifetime, you understand the seriousness of this fight for all of our futures. This is a fight for civilization as we know it. And what we know very, very clearly from the scientists, from the UN Secretary General, from the conservative International Energy Agency that represents the coal and the gas and the oil producers, is that if we are to have any chance at all, of meeting the climate goals that we know give us a decent chance at a safer life, then there can be no new coal or gas mines. No new coal or gas mines. But in the very week that the UN Secretary General is pleading with countries like Australia to do what is necessary to ensure that we limit global heating to 1.5 degrees and stop our Pacific Island neighbours from seeing their homes go underwater. In that very same week, Labor comes out and says they want more coal and gas at the federal level and at the state level as well. If Labor keeps opening more coal and gas, then we are heading for societal collapse. And it is up to us now to stop it. And the people in this country do not want more coal and gas mines open. They just want an Australia where we don't have to go to every summer holidays worrying about how many people are going to die in the bushfires or the heat waves. And they want to know that you can build a house and it will be there today, tomorrow and next year and not be washed away by floods. That's what people in this country want. But we are up against it because there are coal and gas corporations that are making billions of dollars off the back of people's pain now, but attempting to squeeze out just a few more billions of dollars of profit before the world goes under. And it is up to us to stop them. What we know is that they have got governments, Liberal and Labor, in their pockets. Liberal and Labor take money from the coal and gas corporations and then turn around and open up new coal and gas mines, even as it puts the lives of us and our children and our grandchildren at risk. Well, we are the ones who are here to fight, to say, if we want our kids and our grandkids to have a chance at something like the life that all of us have had, to be able to go to every summer holidays and enjoy it and not worry that their safety is going to be at risk, to live by the beach and not worry whether their homes are going to be washed away as sea level rise, then there's one thing that we need to do, and that is keep coal and gas in the ground. And here in this country, we have a special responsibility because Australia is the world's third largest exporter of fossil fuel pollution. And it's not just our pollution that goes up when we open those new gas mines in the Beetaloo or in Scarborough or Barossa, as Labor and Liberals want to do. It has a multiplier effect because when we allow one of those gas mines to open up here, it allows countries' worth of pollution to be burnt around the world. And we want to send a really clear message that it doesn't matter where it's burnt, it harms all of us. It harms all of us. The time for accounting tricks is over. The time for saying you can somehow reach net zero while opening up new coal and gas mines is a greenwashing con, and that time is over as well. And you and all of us are going to keep fighting to avoid societal collapse, to ensure that our kids and our grandkids have a chance at a decent life with each other, where there's not war over resources and people dying because of heat waves and rising sea levels. And you have the public on your side. And there will be some who say, well, this causes inconvenience. Well, the inconvenience caused by an afternoon of taking a bit longer for people to get to where they need to go is nothing compared to avoiding the inconvenience of thousands of people dying in heat waves every year, of seeing people dying as their homes are washed away in floods. This is about ensuring all of our survival and a chance at a decent life, and ensuring that our generation is not the one that hands down a worse quality of life to the ones who come after it simply because of corporate greed. So this fight has to continue for as long as it needs to, until we keep coal and gas in the ground. And you know what? That's not only going to stop climate collapse, it's going to create jobs for everyone in this country. It's going to ensure an amazing quality of life for everyone in this country. When we have jobs with decent wages and secure incomes that aren't premised on cooking the planet, but that are based on saving it, that's when everyone in this country is going to be able to lead a good quality of life. And that is what we are fighting for. We are fighting for good jobs, good wages, and a great quality of life for everyone in this country. And it is the coal and gas corporations and the Labor and Liberal governments they have in their pocket who are standing in the way. So keep fighting. Non-violent civil disobedience has changed the course of history before, and it will do it again. No new coal and gas. Keep it in the ground. Thank you very much.
Well, that's where we leave the Extinction Rebellion slow march.